the disciples of Jesus were in trouble. Out there on the little Sea of Galilee, their small boat was caught in a sudden squall. Now, the Sea of Galilee is actually just a lake. However, it's near the Mediterranean, and stormy weather sweeps in off the Mediterranean over the hills and creates spectacular storms on the Sea of Galilee. The waves and the wind threatened to send their vessel to the bottom. They were desperate. Undoubtedly, the wind had ripped their sails. The waves had gone over the gunwale and probably filled the boat with water. Their waterlogged ship was out of control, and they were on the point of despair. They could no longer control their own destiny. Has life ever done that to you? I suspect most of us at one time or another have had such an experience. Very few of us have ever escaped having the storms of life come upon us when our destiny, when our safety, when our marriage, when our job, when our children were no longer under our control. It had not always been so with the disciples of Jesus. Only a few hours before, the wind gently filled their sails, and the waves had a soft, quiet roll to them. Yes, they had set their own course for the other shore. They had determined their destiny, marked out their next port of call. But then the storm came. And with the descent of the storm, they lost control. With the wind tearing through the rigging, with the waves swamping their boat, they no longer could determine their port. And that has happened in the lives of most of us. The fact is, there do come those times when we just lose control of life, when what is happening is out of our ability to control, and we lose control of our destiny. We are the helpless victims of the storm. The first point I want to make this morning is this: we must have faith or our boat will sink. Some months ago, a United States senator from North Carolina took his own life at the age of 55. Senator John East was a strong advocate of the pro-life movement, and yet when his own health declined, when his own physical well-being deteriorated, he took his own life. When the storm came, his boat sank. Some of you are old enough to remember a popular song from the first part of this century. The words go like this: what's the use of worrying? It never was worthwhile. So pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile, smile, smile. That song was written by a man named Felix Powell. He sang it for the last time in 1942. Walked into a bedroom, pulled out a pistol, put it to his head, and pulled the trigger. You see, when the storms of life came, he couldn't pack up his troubles in his old kit bag and keep on smiling because he had nothing to hold on to. His boat simply sank. The nurse who took care of the famous Voltaire during his last illness was asked by her hospital to take another patient. The nurse refused to take the case until she determined whether or not the person she was to care for was a Christian. When the doctor asked her why, she replied, "Because as long as I live, I never want to see another atheist die." You see, without a faith, when the storms come, the boat will always sink. The second point I want to make is this: each of us must decide what boat we will sail in. We've already said that we must have a faith or the storm will sink our boat. The second point is, we must decide what we will have faith in. We must decide what boat we will set sail in. You see, if a man believes in something or someone, he can rise to the heights of accomplishment. He can rise to the heights of grandeur. He can accomplish the seemingly impossible. See how it works. In 1933, the German nation was still beaten and defeated, prostrate. Its great industrial machinery lay idle and rusting. Its people were starving, and the nation was caught up in the grips of a Great Depression. At the end of World War I, it had conceded its fleet of merchant vessels to the enemy. Its great colonial empire had been set free. Her great army had been routed, and most of her navy lay at the bottom of the sea. They were a beaten and dejected people. Yet within the span of 6 short years from 1933, they felt sufficiently strong to take on the whole of continental Europe and conquered most of it. Then for 6 more long, desperate, terrible years, they held off the collective might of the industrial powers of the world. And what was it that transformed those people in such a short time? It was faith. The German people began to believe in something and in someone. It is true, as it turned out, that their faith was monstrous and fantastically evil. Yet they believed. And in the power of their faith, they accomplished the seemingly impossible. Or if you want another modern example, look at Russia. Only a few short decades ago, they caught the vision of a cosmic drama, the rule of the proletariat. And in the power of that faith, they have become one of the superpowers of our age. Today, all of the world must reckon with a people who, only a short time ago, as history goes, were a simple peasant people of little international consequence or significance. And yet, when man is inspired with a vision, when he is captivated by a faith, he can rise to do the seemingly impossible. Look at one more example. Go back into history. At the time of the birth of Jesus Christ, the Roman Empire ruled the known world. They had placed their faith in the power of their armies and in the incredible skill and ability of their generals. With deadly precision and with relentless determination, they marched from victory unto victory until the whole world lay beaten and subdued at their feet. They had a faith in themselves and the power of their armies, and in that faith, they conquered the world. So without a faith, our boat will sink. And we must choose the boat in which we will sail. The third point I want to make is this. The only faith that will never fail us is Jesus. One stormy night, when their boat might have been about to sink, Peter stepped over the side of the boat. There was no question but that he needed help. His hair was whipped by the wind. His clothes were tugged at by the wind. The spray filled his face. The waves rolled about him, and Peter lost his courage. The only question was, in what or in whom would he put his faith in that desperate moment? To whom would he look for help? I feel sorry for anyone in today's world who has no faith. But I feel even more sorry for someone who puts his faith in the wrong thing or the wrong person, who follows the wrong dream. The Germans had faith in Hitler and themselves as the superior race, but their faith failed them. They had banked on a poor dream. The Russians have faith in some inevitable dialectical process of human history and in the dream of the common man. Already the dream is beginning to come unraveled, and there is no evidence that their faith will sustain them. 3 centuries after the death of Christ, the Roman Empire lay in shambles and had been overrun by barbarians. Rome was never to recover. On that stormy night, when Peter climbed over the side of the boat and put his foot on the water, He was secure and safe as long as he trusted Jesus. But something happened to him. When the safety of the boat was behind him, when the wind whipped at his clothing, when the waves washed about him, Peter lost confidence. The Bible said he began to sink. Peter was a man overboard in the middle of a storm. Has that ever happened to you? It certainly has to me. You know, it's so easy to lose confidence in yourself. There come those times in life when the storm is so violent, when the wind is so strong, when the wave is so high, when the news is so bad, when the feelings are so broken, when the relationship is so alienated, that we are afraid we will drown. That's exactly what happened to Peter. But even though he lost confidence in himself, he never lost faith in Jesus. The Bible says that he cried out, "Lord, save me." And then the Bible says a wonderful thing. It says Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him. So first, without a faith, we perish. Second, we must decide in what or in whom we will believe. And third, the only faith that will never fail us is Jesus. He always has his hand out to catch us. See how it works. In the days when Rome was at its greatest, 11 men waited quietly in an upper room. They were not particularly significant as the world counts significance. For the most part, they were unlettered fishermen, men of no consequence. They had never been more than 50 miles from home. They were members of the Roman Empire, but in a far distant, insignificant area of the world. Their leader was already crucified, and they themselves were hunted men. Let me tell you what happened to those men in the years that were to come. Matthew was to die by the sword in Ethiopia. Mark was to be slain by a mob in Alexandria. Luke was hanged on an olive tree in Greece. John was banished to the Isle of Patmos. Thomas died on the point of a lance. James the Greater was decapitated at Jerusalem. James the Less was thrown from the pinnacle of the temple and then clubbed to death. Bartholomew was flayed alive. Peter was crucified in Rome with his head down. Andrew witnessed to Christ right up to the moment that he ceased to die, to live as he perished on a cross. Jude was shot with an arrow. Yet when the Roman Empire lay in tragic ruins, a new empire had already sprung up from its ashes. An empire that still exists today, the empire of the Church of Jesus Christ. Behind the faith of those early martyrs stood the Jesus of the outstretched hand. When the storms of persecution, of torture, of death rolled about them, and when the winds of adversity whipped through the rigging of their lives, their faith was sufficient, for they had found a hand for the man who was overboard. Yes, we must follow something or someone. You know, it's so easy to follow the wrong thing, to follow the wrong person, the wrong idea, to follow the wrong dream. It reminds me of the story of the man who was driving home in a heavy fog, and he couldn't see very well, and he decided the safest way to stay in the middle of the road was to follow the taillights of the car right in front of him. So he did that. But suddenly the car in front of him stopped, and he didn't have time to put on his brakes, and he crashed into him. He jumped out and cried out in anger, "Why didn't you give some kind of signal that you were going to stop?" "Why should I?" came the reply. "I've just parked in my own garage." A lot of us are following the wrong lights this morning, the wrong dream, the wrong person, the wrong goal. In the storms of life, we need a faith. But the only faith that will never fail us is Jesus. Whose lights are you following this morning? At the turn of the 19th century, a man named Joe Scriven had gone to Canada from Ireland. No one knew much about his life. We still don't. Apparently, he was an orphan. And there in the slums of Dublin, he had scratched out a living. At last, the opportunity arose to go to Canada. And there in a new country, he began a new life. Joe Scriven met a beautiful girl, fell in love with her, and they became engaged. Several days before the wedding, she went across the bay to a larger town to buy her trousseau and her wedding dress. And the day before the wedding, she set sail on the little passenger boat that plied the bay. But out in the middle of the bay, a sudden storm struck, and the little passenger boat was lost with all hands. Joe Scriven stood alone in the world again. He had tried to make sure that life would never hurt him, but now he was plunged into the deepest anguish. In his grief, he was indeed a man overboard, and in the darkness of his room, he cried out to God. In those storms of grief that swept over his soul, he discovered the hand of Jesus reaching out to catch him. Joe Scriven was to spend the rest of his life helping others, using his resources to help poor people, helping widows, cutting wood for them, doing repairs for them. And then one night in the solitude of his frugal room, Joe Scriven wrote a poem that somehow summed up everything that had happened to him. Since then, his poem has been set to music, and Christians around the world have sung it. You have sung it too. You see, out of the depths of his anguish and sorrow and loneliness, when his heart was broken, Joe Scriven wrote, "What a friend we have in Jesus." When the dark of night is upon us, when the storms rage about us, when our hearts within us are breaking, there stands Jesus with his hand outstretched to catch us. You cannot live life without a faith, but you must decide what or whom you will have faith in. I hold up to you Jesus Christ. He is the best friend that you will ever have. Let us pray.